Hi everyone, welcome back to Into the Void. I'm your host Ant, and you join me today for episode number 32 of my weekly audio diary, in which I share my thoughts and insights and knowledge, really, in terms of what's going on in the world and how we can look beyond all the chaos and the gross polarization and begin to come to terms with what it actually means for us on our own individual journey. Anyway, thank you all for tuning in once again. I hope you are all doing well, as always, and managing to stay sane, like I always say, during these rather intense times. Anyway, it's good to be back with you all. I want to begin talking about something very important. I'm going to start with more of a kind of spiritual theme today. And I want to pick up on why you might be struggling right now if you do regard yourself as a light worker or a star seed, or just a sensitive, sort of intelligent sense, sort of a person with great insight. So we do get caught up on all these kind of different labels and tags, and I think it is, as I was saying, it is a tough time. I mean, just in terms of, for someone like myself, who's always been a bit of a dark horse, certainly within the family unit, and a bit of a an outsider. When things do fall apart, it can be particularly challenging, really, because there's nothing we can. There's less and less kind of solid ground we can put our feet on, and there's less certainties, and things that we always once could rely upon, they are, in some instances, and more as time goes on, they just don't exist, or they don't exist in the form that we once knew them to. In terms of an energy update for light workers, et al. On an internal level, I think it often is the case that although we talk about how we experience life as light workers and why things seem to be getting more and more tense, why our experience of life is becoming more and more kind of confusing and in many ways stressful, I think is because, and it's something I've heard quite a few people talk about in terms of the dragon energies of this year, is that for those sensitive and light workers and star seeds, as I was saying, it's almost as if during this time our less developed aspects, or I should say the less developed aspects or dimensions of our being or personality, so to just put it in a very sort of everyday term without the lovely colourful spiritual new agey type of language, it is very much about what I've spoken about before, this sort of call to authenticity, which us kind of light workers, if you do regard yourself as a light worker, I think we feel far more intensely than maybe other people, because for a lot of our lives we've often felt quite diminished. We've often felt that we can't speak out, or that if we do speak out, people will just ridicule us or belittle us. So on the one hand, it can be quite a surprise to those around us who are thinking, blimey, you know, what gives you the right to say that? What you know, why are you piping up? Why are you suddenly standing up for yourself? And although that may be a surprise to those around us, for those who do have understandings and knowledge of kind of spiritual truths, there isn't really any surprise, because the whole point of the journey has been and always is to bring forward those aspects of ourselves that we have been scared to share with the world. And what I mean by less developed aspects of our being or personality, it might be that you've often been quite a shy person, and say in situations at work where they're requiring people to come forward and volunteer to run things or new projects, or perhaps when you've faced stressful or unsettling situations, it might be that your personality has meant that you're one to stand back. That's what I've quite often done until recent years, and this sort of process that I'm talking about now. And that isn't, I don't think, necessarily due to any kind of weakness. I think it can just be from our own lack of self-confidence, really. And it is challenging. It is very, very challenging trying to step into new ways of being, if you will, and to realize just how over the years how much we can change our personality. As we know, it isn't fixed. It's often dependent on the sort of our circumstances in life, the pressures we face, the stresses that we face in our day-to-day life, in terms of work, our relationships with our friends and family as well, of course. But something else worthy of consideration in this regard as well is that I believe as light workers and star seeds, for many of us, it's the idea is put forward, and I happen to agree with this, that there has been a lot of personal sacrifice and in the past, and a lot of foregoing of our own path or our own mission, because perhaps unconsciously we have been more focused on, you know, healing the planet, healing the general energies around us, which often means taking on board a lot of other people's problems, their energies, taking on board their shadow aspect, often mirroring their own less developed side, which can bring its problems. And this sort of is often sort of thought of as being characteristic of sensitive star seeds who don't have sort of very overly developed ego structures and tend to kind of be naturally empathetic towards others. I know in the past I've really struggled with that. I've really struggled to put in proper boundaries with people. And again, during this time, as we're called to greater authenticity, it really will be important that we do put proper boundaries in, not to be closed off, but I feel as we move forward now, a lot of people are going to be drawing on our insights, because if one thinks of sort of like an aspect of the Bible and this idea of we've all heard the phrase, and the meek shall inherit the earth, and the meek shall inherit the earth. And I think that's what that means, that those of us that have had a really, really difficult time, and I know for myself, I've literally been to hell and back through my own sort of misunderstandings of the world and myself and my own psychology, sort of, etc. But now it could be that, you know, we are stepping into times now and going forward where finally we do recognise what our purpose and mission is. And it doesn't have to be anything particularly great. But I feel for many of us now, we are feeling more greater energies, and we can be that energetic lighthouse, or that kind of energetic beacon that radiates out to other people. We radiate our power, whilst also, of course, as we know, the importance of being kind to ourselves and taking rest and pause when we need to, and not overstretching ourselves. Another way I'd put this, talking about the past, is, you know, you've got that sort of common cultural phrase about taking one for the team. And I think for many of us light workers and starseeds, over many, many years now, depending on your age, of course, I think that's something we've been doing in terms of, as I was just talking about, absorbing other people's, shall we say, less refined dark energies. That's not good or bad. Or often, like myself, having to deal with very, very difficult and challenging people. That's always been very much a feature of my life, and which again does lead you to call into question whether there's something wrong with you as an individual when you do have incidents when people just lay into you verbally or behave in ways that seem completely irrational, and you haven't done anything to provoke that kind of reaction. But I mean, overall, just talking about this energy update in terms of light workers and star seeds and sensitives and all the other well-known words and phrases for such people, as we know, this is all part of the shake-up that's going on the planet. Everything's becoming more rarefied, and everything seems to be accelerating all the time. But I mean, one of the reasons why I do my audio diary in terms of this series that I started last June alongside my other normal episodes on Discerning Consciousness podcast is just to share a little bit about my own journey, because as I was saying at the beginning, I know it is particularly difficult, and if we can reach out to people and share our experiences, I think it does make life slightly easier, especially when we have days where, you know, we're going insane, we feel like no one else understands us, we look out into the world and we just think, what the hell next? It can't get much more crazy. Sorry. So it is, I think it is really important to reach out for people at that time. So that was just a little bit of a sort of a summary of this week's energy update, and why this is a particularly important time for those of us who might be star seeds, light workers, etc., etc. So just moving on now, something I want to mention that's spoken quite a bit about here in the UK in the mainstream and since COVID is politicians and social commentators are talking about it as being somewhat of an issue. And as this idea of how more and more people seem to just be withdrawing from society, and in terms of the system and by its standards, it's got this horribly clunky phrase, economic people who are said to be, in inverted commas, economically inactive. And in Britain, we have a population, I believe, of around about 70 million, something like that, growing exponentially all the time. Of course, about 10 million people are said to be economically inactive, and the definition of that is people who aren't engaged in so-called employment, who may be caring for relatives, or maybe people who are just living off savings, but they're not in any kind of employment, be it full-time or part-time. And of course, from the system's perspective, this is regarded as a real crisis, and the one aspect of this crisis in terms of economics is there are more and more a lot of jobs that remain, job roles that remain unfilled. And one aspect of this is said that a lot of these jobs are in the service sector, which would have traditionally been filled by young people. And there's this kind of argument or this thought going around that young people aren't prepared to go into low level jobs and all the rest of it. So there's a general sort of crisis within the UK economy around this idea of economic inaction, if we can put it like that. It's not an easy thing to say, and why people are withdrawing from the system. First of all, straight off the bat, from my perspective, Why is this happening? And I'm sure it's probably happening in a lot of the Western world, to be honest, certainly since COVID and lockdowns and the huge impact that had on the global economy and the local economy as well. One of the main reasons, I think, and obviously this isn't going to be mentioned within the mainstream media, is that a lot of people, even if they're not conspiracy theorists or truthers or whatever moniker you want to use, right, they're very much aware of the unfairness of the system, the scams. They've become very much aware of a lot of the underhand activities of corporations, just in the way in which people are treated as customers when they're trying to perhaps change their utility supplier, or once a year when they're renewing their household or car insurance. Just the fact that the amount that these bills are going up, people really are getting the sense in which the system is completely and utterly unfair. I mean, as we know, it always has been. But now, in a cost of living crisis, people are feeling a lot more financial pressure in their day-to-day lives, and it really is. It's taking its toll on people, and in one regard, it is quite sad that people are opting out of life. I mean, I've been a part of this in the past when I was stuck in the whole, what is more commonly known as the sort of black pill doom sort of narrative and the kind of lifestyle that goes with that. So I was back in the mid to late 2000s, I was hanging out with a lot of people who very much were lost, like myself, in that sort of dark space. I used to go by the name of the conspiracy guy, so you can only imagine where my headspace was at the time. So there was a lot of, you know, kind of things that go with those lifestyles, a lot of sedentary, a lot of partaking of cannabis smoking, which I've never done myself, it's not for me, but just a very sedentary kind of lifestyle, and opting out in terms of sort of being very scornful and justifying one's inaction on the inequities or unfairness of the system, and well, I understand that, but I know it is difficult, but that can be used as an excuse sometimes, because we still have to sort of create energy, if you like, in order to get things back. But I think what I'm talking about here is why within the mainstream they're often want to talk about things like, oh, the system's in crisis, there's a crisis of democracy, and more as we head on to the further into this year, and you've got the US presidential elections and elections here in the UK, the general election, there'll be this conversation around, you know, crisis of democracy and the rise of populism, and the concern of the impact on democracy, etc. But also, I would just say, from the system's perspective, of course, I think why they're fearful, why there's a concern, is that one aspect, of course, more of a positive aspect, some might say, of people just withdrawing the system, is where you see you're having the rise of people due to the extremely high cost of housing. They may be choosing van life, and we've all seen various YouTubers who are choosing or adopting that lifestyle, which is very, very hard, especially here in the UK. It's wet and cold a lot of the time, and we have very, very draconian local authorities who will constantly be moving people on in vans. It's a lot easier, of course, in the US, Canada and Australia, where you guys have a lot more space out there. So another aspect, sorry, people just withdrawing from the system is people and their need to, you know, escape, or the rising house prices and the costs of rent, which just are absolutely ridiculous. So in many ways, people are just sort of being forced to opt out. And this is where, because we live, as we know, the core of the financial system and the system overall, it's a predatory type of system, right? It's a predatory type of system. And what that means is that actually now, because it's going into freefall, because basically what it's doing is it's just feeding on the people, but that's leading to its own decline. So it's a bit like a parasite that attacks the human body, but then that parasite will die along with the human body. So it's literally all of this greed and corruption will eventually destroy the parasitic forces that I've spoken about quite a lot recently. So there's quite a lot of irony around that. And furthermore, I think you can only really beat people down for so long before, in some instance, they just give up. And I think that's what's happening more and more now, that even for those people who can't analyze and don't have a vision or a concept of what's happening and can't sort of connect all the dots in a broader awareness, if you like, there is this sense in which they're just saying, do you know what's the point, what is the point? And they are in many, many cases withdrawing their consent from the system. They're no longer playing the game. And for the architects of the system and for the architects of the game, this is a big problem, because if there are no players in the game, then the game ceases. So I think the powers that were, and all their various cohorts in whatever guises they come, there is a concern, there is a deep concern. But this is what happens when you, if I can use the phrase, when you turn the screws so tightly, then the pigs, unfortunate phrase. But then the pigs do start to squeal, and it's like, to use another metaphor, you can only slowly cook the frogs for so long before they start screaming and before they start jumping out of the water. And I think that this is the point we've reached now. And I think part of the COVID plandemic or scamdemic was really the system, an attempt by the system to sort of reinforce its relevancy. And, you know, people gained, I think they gained a lot of personal empowerment in a kind of strange, perverse way by just following the rules and just doing what mummy and daddy government said. And so in some ways that was a kind of a last ditch attempt by the system and the game, you know, to draw people into the game. But now we're moving on from COVID. I know we've got the issues around the fake vax and all of those associated issues and problems, of course. But generally, it isn't at the forefront of people's mind anymore. And because the media's moved on, it isn't spoken about anymore. So one can think there is a positive to be taken from all of this. Because again, it links back to what I was talking about just now in terms of people being forced in many, many ways. We're all being forced to step into our authenticity and just to say, well, if we live in a deeply corrupt, unfair financial system, what is it I want to do? You know, what is my plan here, my divine plan, or what is my purpose? And I think that a good aspect of the shake-up that we're going through during this time is that more and more people are able to find ways to do things that they want to do, whether it's just, you know, an online side hustle, perhaps selling things or making, you know, bespoke creative things that they can sell online, or sell at bazaars and car boot sales or fates and things like that. So there is this real force pushing humanity, pushing all of us towards greater authenticity, which hopefully, I think, you know, one sunny day in the future, you know, I think things will look a lot better. But my deep concern, I would say, is there's so, within a UK context, there are a lot of people that, for whatever reason, they literally can't help themselves. So there are a lot of people who do need state intervention, who do need a fully functioning welfare state for all its ills. So my concern going into the future is how those people are going to cope. And that's, I think, inevitably I think governments are going to fall. So I'm kind of broadening this out now, this conversation. But that means that the welfare state probably will collapse. And I think it will be incumbent upon us to help the needy, help the vulnerable, those people that need our help within our local community. And I think one thing with this shake-up, what you could well see is a revival of the sort of family unit and more people sticking together, hopefully. I think that may be people's only choice, one of their only choices to survive. So just lastly on this point, in terms of why people are withdrawing their consent, why they're no longer playing the game, I think obviously, like I was just saying, it is a big concern from those who think they have designed the game, shall we say, and those who think ultimately they are the masters of the game, which they're not. The divine and God is the master of the game, if you like, here on the 3D realm anyway. And I think part of the development of AI is kind of like their backup plan. So when all of the chips fall down back on the table, having been thrown up into the air, they by pushing AI, and perhaps in a world in which they think they can move on from a human-based world, shall we just say. That's a huge discussion for another day. I think they still think they're going to be in control. So that's how they think, I believe, that they're going to overcome this problem of the natives getting a little bit restive right now and unhappy. Anyway, just going to move on now. And I want to talk about next, return to an aspect of the whole black pill thing, or what I call the truth or trap. And I just want to give you an example of what I think is why I think there's just as much fake news in the alternative media. So I'll just give you a little bit of background. And also it's an example of why you can't trust a lot of the content as well in the alternative media. So as I've said before, I recently, about once a week normally, I get my fix of kind of truth or black pill stuff, because I like to keep my finger on the pulse, so to speak. So I visit the Truth Seeker website, and it has some interesting articles on there from time to time. You do have to sort the wheat from the chaff. And there was an article on there written by Henry McCow. You're probably well aware of him. I've spoken about him in the past. He wrote a very good book about feminism, and he writes quite extensively about this idea where we need to go back to a more sort of conservative, with a small c, conservative sort of old style and Christian based moral framework for society. Anyway, the article was about, he was claiming, there's an MP in the UK Parliament called Andrew Bridgen. I think that's how you pronounce it, Bridgen, yeah. And he's one of the few MPs that's spoken publicly in Parliament. Many MPs walked out because he's spoken to the high mortality rates and the potential links to the fake COVID vaccination. Now, when he came out with this, of course, you know, we can't have anyone going off message. He was turfed out of the Conservative Party. So I think he still sits as an independent now. And he's been, he's quite regularly interviewed in the alternative media, obviously, because he's seen as, you know, a little bit of an insider. So he hasn't been kicked out of Parliament as of yet. So on this Henry McCow article, it was claimed that this MP, Andrew Bridgen, was told whilst he was in the House of Commons, or more properly known as the Palace of Westminster, in the Palace of Westminster, in a tea room. That's where it gets really like a silly, unbelievable drama. Apparently this MP was told by a senior government minister, and I quote, and I paraphrase, excuse me, I haven't got the quote word for word, but he was said, all the vaccinated are going to die from cancer soon. And this alleged senior minister said to this MP, that includes me, because I was I took the vaccination because, you know, I didn't know what I was doing, and I kind of like fell for all the lies and the propaganda. I'm not sure why he would say that. We know that is true. But anyway, I just want to say the likelihood of this happening, as a few comments on the Truth Seeker website said in response to this article, this is absolute BS. Absolute nonsense. Now, I'm not sure if Henry McCaul is American or Canadian. Obviously, I know he isn't British. But someone who happens to be a Brit, myself, and back in the 90s, I was very much not involved in politics, but I was very, very much interested in politics. I did a degree in politics, so I kind of know what goes on and the protocols. I know for a fact this just wouldn't have happened. It's absolutely ridiculous, because it's speaking to, as we know, this meme that's gaining more and more currency in alternative media, this idea about turbo cancers or fast-acting cancers. Now, again, I'm not saying that these cases of fast-acting cancers, they're not happening. Of course they are. But I think there are many factors that are causing this. And again, it's quite nuanced. I don't think it, I accept it could be something to do with the fake vax. I don't know. But it's probably also has something to do with the fact that we are now living through a time where we have an intensification of the energies hitting the planet. The vibration of the planet is changing. And one of the big implications of that is, as I see it, is for those people who are unable to integrate those energies, I think it means that the body can become toxic. It can become out of balance a lot quicker than it would have done, say, in previous eras. But of course, this depends on people's own individual stories, their histories, their past lives, if you believe in such concepts, their purpose and all the rest of it in this particular incarnation. But I do think that's probably one of the main reasons why we are seeing this increase in cancers right across the board, and most worryingly of all, in young people as well. Now, back to this particular article by Henry McCaul. It could be that he's acting honourably, and he may well have been passed information. Who knows? You know, it could be that Andrew Bridgen was lying or making it up, or perhaps, you know, he was having, forgive the phrase, he was having smoke blown up his own backside by someone just to take him off the scent, kind of thing. We don't know. We're back to this whole thing I talk about as well in the truth or trap of when we become obsessed of trying to work out, well, what's actually happening. We can't know. We can't fathom it out, and we can send ourselves crazy trying to rationalise, trying to work it all out. But just more broadly, I mean, as we know, in the mainstream, there are all sorts of different types of agendas going on to take people in wrong direction. It's happening just as much in the alternative media, online. It's a very powerful powerful battlefield. So I think what's going on here is that obviously more unconscious, let's use the word truthers or truth seekers, would look at this and yes, grab onto it. Yes, 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 this is right. All these people, they're going to die of cancer. Oh my God, oh my God. I better go and tell my parents. I better go tell my wife, my husband, my boyfriend, my girlfriend, you know, my colleagues at work. And what's going to happen? You know, those friends, family and your work colleagues, they're going to turn around and go, you're effing nuts. What are you talking about? I haven't seen it on the BBC News, the ITV News, Sky News, CNN. What are you talking about? You're an absolute nutter. So that will just lead to more isolation, more pain for that individual who's going out there believing they've got the truth. Because they got it from the alt media, and there's all these turbo cancers, and everyone's going to die of cancer. which is absolutely ridiculous. No, there is a worrying trend towards an increase in cancer. So it's something that should be investigated, and hopefully at some stage it will be. But if you're someone that then runs with the idea that everyone's going to die of cancer, then you kind of delegitimize what it is that person is saying, because it's so extreme. Whereas if you said to people, well, I'm concerned, look, here's a mainstream article, here was something that was reported on a mainstream news website, look, this person was only young, and this person's died of cancer, what's going on? And we probably get more of an open, positive response in that instance. So once again, just to summarise, I think this particular article, if read by someone who is not particularly balanced, is looking for extreme explanations for things, we'll pick this up and we'll run with it. But yeah, just lastly, I think, personally, I should say, I'm not sure what other people think, I think it is it's a classic example of fake news. And we do have to be, as I said in my New Year episode on Discerning Consciousness podcast, we do have to be very, very careful, especially in this particular era going forward, what sources of information we are taking in on a daily basis, and how is it triggering our emotions? Because you can imagine someone reading that article who perhaps is just new to all of this, perhaps is newly awakened, if I can use that rather pejorative phrase, since COVID, and has just fallen down numerous rabbit holes. They're going to look at it and just think, well, it's the truth. I've seen it on the Truth Seeker website. It must be true. So that's why, once again, I think, as always in this particular era, self-preservation is very, very important. And from my own perspective, I'm not being arrogant. Far be it from me to be so. I'm just kind of sharing my perspective. I'm just calling this out, because I know that all of us, even if we perhaps have a good level of insight, a good level of awareness, which I hopefully have, which I'm sure many of you guys do, because you're having discernment to listen to me right now. Thank you very much for that. The ways in which we get pulled in, and I've noticed it with the situation in the Middle East, sometimes I have to just stop. Okay, Ant, are you getting pulled in emotionally? I think we just get pulled in more subtle ways, and they're the kinds of things that we will have to watch for going forward this year, because I think things are going to they're going to get so extreme and so crazy. So it is going to be a real test. Anyway. I think I'm coming up to my normal allocated time for my audio diary. So we'll round things up now. And I just want to thank you all for listening once again. And I hope you're able to take something from what I've shared. Thank you all again for tuning in. And I will speak to you all again very soon. Bye-bye for now.